This is KBOX Heart of the Arts podcast. I'm Greg Kostraba. Jeffrey Siegel continues the 46th season of his Keyboard Conversation series at the Scottsdale Center for the Performing Arts Tuesday, January 14th at 7:30 p.m. with a program called Dances for the Ears. Jeffrey is on the phone from his home in New York City. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to talk with you.
Good to talk to you as well. You've been doing this series for 46 years in Scottsdale. Now, when I go to concerts, I actually hear a lot of musicians talking from the stage to the audience during the performance. But it wasn't true when you started, right?
Yeah, and it's understandable in a way. I think there are many, many people out there who would like to have an introduction into the pieces of music that they are going to hear, a spoken introduction. There are also people who have heard the Beethoven Fifth Symphony many times and would like to hear somebody say something about it which will make a more enriched and focused listening experience. In many ways, I'd be the first, and I know this sounds strange coming from me, but I'd be the first to defend the principle that music does not need anybody to say anything about it. The music speaks infinitely well for itself. So if somebody is going to delay the performance, so to speak, of a piece of music by saying something about it, there must be a reason for it, and the result must be that it makes the listening experience much more accessible and much more enriched as a result. And this is very difficult to do.
And you've been doing it for a long time. And one of the things about your series that always seems intriguing to me is that you have a theme. And in this case, the theme is the program is called Dances for the Ears. And you go all the way back from the Baroque to deep into the 20th century for all different types of dances. Tell us a little bit about the genesis of this program, how you came up with this particular program.
There are certainly dances that are written to be danced to. But there are great composers who have taken the style and the rhythm of a particular dance and written music in this dance style and character, but for the ears. It can be danced to, but it's music that's written with the intention of the dance form, the dance style, the dance rhythm being a concert piece for the ears. And we have everything from a minuet of Beethoven's and a waltz of Chopin to a whole bunch of Spanish-inspired pieces. In fact, the whole second half of the program is going to be wonderful music of Spanish composers. We have a tango, for example, by Albéniz. We have a Spanish dance by Granados. And we have two dances of Manuel de Falla. So it's a program that goes everywhere from, if you will, a gigue of Bach, straight through to these, as you say, 20th century dances of Spanish composers.
Let's talk about the one piece that's on the second half that you didn't just mention there, the piece by Federico Mompou. Fabulous composer, very relaxed, calm music throughout, but a composer that people certainly don't know as much as they know Granados, Albéniz, and Falla.
Yes, and I'm so glad that you brought this up. One of my goals with the Keyboard Conversation program is to include pieces of music of composers that might be considered off the beaten track, and to present these to the listeners so that the listeners can have the opportunity to make, if you will, musical friends with these pieces of music. And so many times in the Q&A that follows my program, I have people saying, I've never heard that piece before, but thank you so much for bringing it to our attention. I really enjoyed it. This Mompou piece is one that the audiences where I've played it already this season have embraced with the wonderful enthusiasm, as I'm sure the Scottsdale audience will as well.
Let's talk about something you mentioned earlier, which is being able to dance to this music. Would you say that you could dance to the Bach Gigue from the English Suite No. 2 that you're starting the program with?
I think one could dance to it. These dances, the Gigue, the Sarabande, for example, were very popular in Bach's time. And he would take the style and the tempo and the character of these specific dances, which were popular dances in his time, and he would use them for compositions of his. In fact, the suites of Bach tend to be collections of dances of different tempo, from different country, different origin, and he would combine them by having all these dances start and stop in the same harmony, same key.
And as time moved on, the minuet became an extremely popular dance.
In The minuet was the most popular dance in the late 18th century of the aristocracy. And composers like Beethoven knew this and would write minuets because in this particular relaxed tempo and style, this was music that was particularly attractive to his time. We're going to hear the minuet in G of Beethoven, but as I explain to the audience and demonstrate, there are two very familiar popular minuets in the key of G by Beethoven. And why did he choose this particular minuet to conclude a sonata?
And you'll answer that at the concert, right?
I will.
Okay, that's a kind of a teaser for folks that are heading to the concert, find out why that is the case. And then Frédéric Chopin's famous Grand Valse Brillant number 1. What a great piece. And the waltz, I believe, took a while to finally come into the dance repertoire.
By the time Chopin got to Vienna, which was part of this European tour that he took when he left his native town, he wrote a letter from Vienna back to his parents in Warsaw, in which he exclaimed, "These Viennese, they're waltz crazy here. They're waltzing at all times of the night, all times of the day." He couldn't get over the fascination with the Viennese waltz. And though he was sort of making fun of this in a gentle way, he got caught up with waltz fever. And what we're going to hear is the first of several waltzes that he wrote at this time. And this is the first one that he actually chose to publish. And the buoyant 1-2-3, 1-2-3 waltz rhythm pervades this entire very extrovert, joyous piece of music.
And then after the march from The Love for Three Oranges by Prokofiev, you wrap up with some Romanian folk dances by Béla Bartók, dances in a way that shows how far things have come from Bach. That's the wonderful thing about the first half of this program. You show that the dance is a constant idea among composers and a constant inspiration for composers, but how much it's changed in 200 years is pretty astonishing.
Yes, with these dances of Bartók, Bartók was an ethnomusicologist. He would go into remote villages in Romania and in Hungary and encourage the peasants to sing their folk tunes and to do their dances. This had not been recorded in musical notation, and he would record it. And you can't resist when you hear them, the wonderful rhythmic character and the spicy melodies that go on. And each one, in a short period of time, has its own musical mood, and yet, as a set, they work magnificently.
Dances for the Ears, that's the name of the next program that Jeffrey Siegel will be bringing to the Scottsdale Center for the Performing Arts as he continues his 46th season of his Keyboard Conversation series, Tuesday evening, January 14th at 7:30. Tickets and more information about the series are at scottsdaleperformingarts.com. Jeffrey, thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you very much.
For the KBOK Heart of the Arts podcast, I'm Greg Kostraba.